Thank you for leading us in worship. It's time for children's church, so the kids who are going that direction can go now. Off they go, some more reluctant than others. If you will allow me to sit this morning, I have been sick for the last couple of days with some kind of stomach bug, and I'm doing better, but it has left me kind of weak and wobbly, and I know Deborah will feel much better if I am sitting down rather than risking any drama. Thank you for praying for us. You know that I went to be with my mother early in the week, and I was able to get there on Tuesday, and there was no evidence in her face, although her eyes were open for some of that time, that she was aware of any of us who were around her. And then the next morning, she went to be with the Lord. She was 93 years old. The last several years were dementia, but it was an unusual kind of dementia. She always knew who we were, seemed to know exactly what she was saying. It's just that the words that were coming out of her mouth were words that none of the rest of us could understand, but they were filled with inflection and emotion. And it was like listening kind of to when a toddler speaks, and you know they know what they mean, but you don't. And occasionally one of our names would come out or some phrase, and often praise to the Lord, and we would agree. And so she was so ready for heaven. And about a week and a half ago, she fell out trying to get out of bed during the night, broke a hip, broke a wrist real badly, and had a large contusion on her face, and just really was in a great deal of pain. So when we got the call early Wednesday morning that she had passed away, we were grateful that that struggle was over. And so we'll be heading up immediately after the service this morning, going back up to Pennsylvania. I'll be speaking at the funeral service on Tuesday at Chapel Point Retirement Community in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. There will be 75 of us who are my parents' offspring and in-laws, and there's seven siblings and our spouses, and then all of our children and their children. And so it will be a great time for us all to be together and to rejoice in the fact that my mother finished well. And we'll miss her, but we're so grateful, couldn't be happier that she's enjoying all the blessings that she's looked forward to for a lifetime. I'm not preaching this morning. The fact of the matter is that given all that's been going on and the way I've been feeling the last few days, I wouldn't be here if it weren't for the fact that tonight is the annual meeting. And there are some things on my heart that I just really think need to be said. We're at a critical point as a church. So I want to share some of that with you. Before I do that, let me tell you that there's a recommendation that will come from the governing board to the congregation tonight regarding our partnership with the country of Kosovo. And you remember that we have been heavily involved with this little Balkan country of Kosovo. Jeff and Melissa Singfile serve as Alliance missionaries there. They're part of a team of seven missionaries. We've been heavily involved, sent short-term teams, sent a Bible seeding team, been financially supporting them, been praying for them, been getting reports regularly from them. We know the names and have seen the faces of people. Many of you have been to Kosovo on one of those trips, and it was just recently that Deborah and I were able to be there, for they've asked us to be the pastoral care couple for the missionary team. We had actually had a formal partnership agreement with the team there in Kosovo, but that had expired, and we just want to renew that. Probably most of you were not even aware that it had expired. As far as you're concerned, we're still in that partnership arrangement. But tonight, as we come, this recommendation will come before you. We, the body of Northridge Church, renew our partnership with the Christian and Missionary Alliance International Workers and our national partner church in Kosovo to reach Kosovo for Christ. We commit to regular strategic prayer. We will continue to build lasting relationships with the CNMA workers and the National Church, and as the Lord leads, we will support the advance of the gospel in Kosovo by such means as sending short-term teams, long-term workers, and financial resources. We will support Pastor Sam and Deborah McGarvey in their role as the pastoral care couple for the Kosovo team. Knowing that the need is great in Kosovo, we commit to active partnership from January 1, 2016 through December 31st, 2020. So we're renewing that five-year partnership commitment with Kosovo as we gather tonight. Also want to remind you that in our meeting tonight, you will see the report of the nominating committee. By the way, there's one name missing from that report, and that's the name of Nick Droll should be included under those being nominated for trustee. But you will be free to make nominations from the floor. We do ask that if you intend to do that, you please ask permission of the person that you intend to nominate before the meeting. Don't spring that on them in the meeting itself. And if should there be any nominations from the floor, then we will proceed and vote by ballot for those offices. Otherwise, we will vote by unanimous consent. On your way out this morning, we want you to pick up a copy of the annual report. Looks like this. And I want to talk with you for a little bit about my report to this congregation, because it's unusual. My concern is, how do I share this without it coming across as a bit of a downer? We've had a great time this morning here and just enjoyed being in the presence of the Lord and the fellowship of one another. And if you're a visitor to this church, this is just a wonderful church where the Lord is at work. And I don't want in any way imply that we are in some kind of a desperate condition. We're not at all. But I think we are at a place where we need to pay attention to what's going on and what has been going on for the last really many years at Northridge Church, and ask God to grant to us a new vision for Northridge as we move forward. For a number of years, I served on the District Executive Committee in the Mid-Atlantic District of the Alliance. That's this district north of us in Virginia and Delaware, Maryland, Washington, D.C. And as when I served on that committee, I became aware of something that I had been really largely unaware of before, and that is the pain and the grief involved in closing churches. We're all excited when new churches are planted in our district, and there's a lot said about that, and a lot of enthusiasm about planting those churches, but much less is said about those occasions that happen fairly regularly when a church, having had a long season of fruitful ministry in a community, comes to the place where the doors have to be closed. There are simply not enough people left to pay the bills and support a pastor and carry on the ministry in that community. And that happens with some frequency. We were closing one or two churches a year. That happens in this district as well. And I looked at that and looked at kind of, you want to kind of do an autopsy on those churches. What happened there? What went wrong along the way that brought them to that place? And one of the things that became apparent is that so many churches, like so many things, have a life cycle. You and I have a life cycle, and physical. You know, there's a moment when we're born and we grow rapidly in our childhood and our youth, and then we begin to mature and we kind of reach our prime, and there's a season of great fruitfulness, and then there's a lessening and a diminishing and a weakening, and finally we come to the end of our life cycle and we die. And that happens not just with people, it happens with so many things, organizations and institutions, and it happens with churches. Churches have life cycles, and the good news is it's not inevitable. Churches don't have to die, but they will if they don't recognize somewhere along the line that they're on the wrong trajectory. They're heading in the wrong direction, and there needs to be a new birth of vision. The churches that die are the churches that ignore those symptoms, and they miss the window of opportunity that there is during a season when they're poised, when they have everything in their hands to know a new season of health and vitality and life and growth and outreach and fruitfulness. And they choose instead to look inward and to focus on themselves and the preferences and the needs of their own constituents and lose sight of a lost community around them. Let me tell you a little bit about the history of Northridge Church. Many of you know this story better than I do. but to some of you it will be new. Northridge Church was planted in 1970 by First Alliance Church of Raleigh. It was planted in this area of town because of the need for a good gospel preaching church in this area where at that time there were none. And it was born, as all young churches are, with a great zeal for reaching its community for Christ. By 1982, it had passed the 200 mark and was growing rapidly. By 1989, Northridge Church was averaging just under 350 in its attendance. From 1989 until now, the church has been in a period of long, slow decline. And I've put that on the front of the annual report. You'll be able to look at that in the form of a graph that goes from 1989 through to 2015. And I make some observations about that graph in my report. Let me share those with you now. You can read these when you get the report. But here are my observations when I look at that graph. Number one, average attendance has declined by almost 150 since peaking in 1989. Attendance has declined in 18 of the past 26 years, just about two-thirds. During the 18 years of decline, the average loss was 12.2, while during the 7 years of growth, the average increase was 10.5. So the average decline was larger than the average increase. And for the past 12 years, since 2003, our attendance has really been plateaued. It has been drifting between 200 and 224. Last year, 2015, saw the lowest average attendance since our peak year in 1989. And the loss of 18 from 2014 to 2015 is the largest annual decline that we've seen since 2003. Northridge Church grew steadily during its first two decades, from 1970 to 1989, passing the 200 mark in 1982. Our attendance has now declined to what it was in 1982, 33 years ago. Meanwhile, from 1990 to 2014, the population of Raleigh has more than doubled, growing from 207,951 to 439,896. We've sometimes looked at those statistics and comfort ourselves with the thought, well, we are a sending church. We are a missionary sending church. That's the heart of Northridge. Therefore, we cannot simply define our success by the number of people who are in a pews. We need to look around the world where there are people that have been sent and see how the work there has been multiplying. And there's some truth to that. But I don't think that option is really open to us. I don't think we can look over the heads of our lost neighbors to look to the lost people in other parts of the earth. I think it is incumbent upon us to be a church that is reaching our own city with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me read to you, if you'll bear with me while I quote myself, read to you directly from my report. One of the paragraphs of my report says this: what causes churches to decline? There are many reasons. Some churches decline because of unresolved conflict, some because of the loss of jobs in the surrounding area. Some churches fail to change with the changing neighborhood, while others get stuck in the past. There are many reasons why churches decline, but the most common pattern is that churches that began with a passion to reach lost people for Christ unintentionally drift toward becoming a community of believers who are focused on providing ministries that meet the needs of the congregation. The focus slowly shifts from reaching the lost who are outside the church to serving the needs and satisfying the preferences of those inside the church. People become protective of cherished forms and structures of ministry that are no longer effective. Churches inadvertently create self-affirming Christian subcultures that grow increasingly distanced from the larger cultural context. They lose both the passion and the ability to communicate the changeless message of the gospel into the cultural context in a language and forms that are relevant and understandable. They come to see themselves as competing with other churches to attract new people from a shrinking pool of believers rather than cooperating with other churches to reach a lost city for Christ. The shift is subtle, unintentional, and often goes unnoticed for years. A once thriving church plateaus, stagnates, and declines. The good news is this is not inevitable. Churches can and often do catch a new vision that God puts in their hearts, and they go on to thrive and grow far beyond anything that they once had been before. But if they miss that window of opportunity, if they simply refuse to believe what's happening to them, then eventually what they discover is that they have lost the critical mass that it takes to reach their city with the gospel. Now, I want to remind you that Northridge Church is a wonderful, wonderful church that I love, and where God is at work. We have folks at Northridge Church, I'm quoting me again, we have folks at Northridge Church whose heart is already burning with a passion for our city. We have existing opportunities like the Northridge Basketball Academy that are open doors for ministry and evangelism that we've not yet taken full advantage of. We have a solid core of people who are hungry for God, desire to know Him more. We have a great group of young adults and young married couples who bring passion and energy to our church. We have a seasoned group of older adults who love God and care deeply about their church. We have a campus with potential for growth. We have a pastoral team who love the Lord, love Northridge Church, and love one another. There's no reason for us to be discouraged. There is every reason, however, for us to face the reality of our declining attendance and come before the Lord with a desperate cry for Him to realign our heart, to realign the heart of our church with His heart for our city. So that what we're trying to do here is not to create a church so that as other believers come in looking for a church, they'll look around and find something that's comfortable for them. But rather, we're kind of church where as new believers who have just come to Christ walk in the doors looking for a place where they can be discipled, they'll find themselves a home here as we're reaching people who don't yet know the Lord for His kingdom and for His glory. Here's what our tendency is. Our tendency is when we look at those kind of declining numbers is to feel a kind of a sense of a little panicky and get a group of people together for a brainstorming session and say, well, let's try this, or maybe we could do that, or maybe if we develop this ministry or that program, you know, there was something else. None of that will work. None of that will work. What we need here is change at a heart level. It has to be a heart level change in our church so that we begin to be a missionary church again, not just a missions church. That is a church that thinks we think like missionaries. We look at our own community as missionaries would look. How do we bring the gospel of Christ into this cultural context to be able to communicate to our city the good news about Jesus? Let me tell you a story. When Deborah and I went to Kosovo back in November, we'd never been there before. Many of you have been there. It's one of the unusual things about this church is our connection with that little country. We're flying into Pristina, the capital city, and making the final approach, getting ready to touch down. I had this just upwelling of emotion. My eyes filled with tears. I think, we're here. We're about to be in Kosovo. I've prayed for this country. I've prayed for the missionaries. I've prayed for pastors by name who I've never seen yet. We've sent teams to this country. We've invested financially in this country. We're in partnership with this country, and we're here. And there's just this kind of upwelling of emotion, and to finally be in Kosovo. We weren't just praying for the missionaries in Kosovo. We're not just in partnership with the missionaries. We're in partnership with the national believers, and we're praying for the country. We're praying for the government. We're praying for the economy. We're praying for God to do a. It'll be harvest time for the gospel in Kosovo, and the whole history of that country will be changed because of it. A few weeks ago, we were in Wednesday night prayer meeting. For a while, I've been asking the Lord, Lord, give me a heart for my city. I know I have a heart for Northridge Church. I pray for you. I pray for the church. I pray for the ministries of the church. I pray with gratitude, and I pray with passion that God will do new things and wonderful things here among us at Northridge, but I recognize that I wasn't really praying for my city. And so I started to ask, Lord, give me, just awaken in me a love for this city. And a couple Wednesday nights ago, Dan's leading the prayer meeting, and as he was kind of directing us in prayer, he had us in small groups, and I was with two or three other guys. And he said, now let's pray for our, let's just take some time to pray for our city. And I started to pray, and I realized that there's this upwelling of emotion like I felt in Kosovo. I thought, Lord, thank you. I've never felt that before for my city. I've never shed tears over my city. I prayed for Northridge Church all the time. I pray for God to bless us and do his work here and bring more people in. But Lord, give me a heart for this city. Now, I don't know what all that's going to look like, but I know that God is calling us as a church to reach our city, to reach our community. I know that'll happen one person at a time. But I use the word our city intentionally because I think that's the level at which our vision needs to be. And I expect that in the coming months and years that the Lord is going to point us towards some things we can and should be doing to express his love to our city and to take his gospel to our city. And some of that will just be as God awakens our own heart and we develop a kind of a lifestyle of love and outreach to our city. But I don't know what all that's going to look like, but I do know, you know, this annual report doesn't include any new strategy or any new effort, but it does include a new heart cry and saying, look, if we're going to be here a generation from now, if we're going to stop this trend that we're on, it won't be because we came up with some hot new idea or some latest evangelism technique, but it will be because God gives to his people a heart for our own city. Jesus wept over his city. And so what I'm asking of you is this. Here's what I'm asking you to do. I'm simply asking that you begin to pray and ask the Lord to give you a heart for our city. And that as God awakens that among us, I don't know where that'll lead. I don't know. I'm beginning to sense, you know, I'm reluctant to put together in something in a, you know, a vision statement or a mission statement or anything like that. But I'm beginning to sense that God is going to raise something up among us so that when we put it on paper, it'll be already obvious. It won't be some new idea that somebody's trying to promote. It'll just be stating the obvious. This is the path that God now has us on as Northridge Church, as he leads us forward from here. So that is my heart to the church that I love this morning. And I'm sorry that I will not be here for the annual meeting tonight. I'd love to be here and I'll look for some opportunity somewhere in the near future when you're able to give some feedback and we can just have some times of prayer together and see where the Lord leads us in this. The elders are already meeting. We've been doing that. We met just a couple of weeks ago for a big part of the day on a Saturday just to talk through some of these issues. You know that we had someone come in a few months ago and spend a weekend with us just to So we'd have a set of kind of outside eyes looking at Northridge and what are we missing? What do we need to be doing? How can we know all that God has for us? But we know that this is something that God needs to do in our heart. It's a heart level issue. And so let's invite him to do that. I'm going to ask Pastor Dan to come and also the worship team to come. And Dan, if you'd lead us in prayer, and then we'll sing together.